You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to another edition of the Pucks with Hags podcast, powered by Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of the CLNS Media Network. I believe this is the 81st episode of the Pucks with Hags podcast. I'm your host, as always, Joe Haggerty. You can find my work at joehaggerty.substack.com. Join up for a premium membership. You get all of my Bruins and NHL writing sent straight directly to your inbox. I also write columns after every Bruins game for the Boston Sports Journal at bostonsportsjournal.com. So check it out. You can see my thoughts right now on the Bruins 6-4 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday, along with a few other things in the NHL notebook. So be sure to check out that out, as well as Boston College losing to Denver in the national championship game for college hockey. I think that was interesting, and there was a few subplots and storylines and narratives going on with that one. So that was fun as well. Let's thank our sponsors, Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America and the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll right in. For example, you could pick David Pastrnak shots on net. You could pick goals. Maybe you could pick slap shots in the final seconds of a game that will piss off Sidney Crosby. I'm not sure if that's an actual stat projection you can pick or not, but wouldn't it be interesting if it was? Charlie McAvoy, you could pick block shots, hits, goals. He's getting a career high in goals this season. So any of that, you pick more or less. It's fun and pretty simple. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. It's easy to download. It's easy to use. And it's a pretty fun concept as far as daily fantasy sports go. So check it on out. All right. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Let's move right into a mailbag episode of the Pucks with Hags podcast. We will just go over quickly 6-4 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday. It continues a pattern of what we've seen the last few weeks, the last 5, 6, 7 games, really good, training ground for the playoffs, really good playoff level intensity games. That was a Pittsburgh Penguins team that was playing for their lives on Saturday afternoon. You saw it with Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby playing emotional, invested hockey. They wanted into the playoffs, Malkin getting into it with McAvoy and Andrew Peak at the end of one period. You saw Sid getting Pastrnak's face at the end of the game because he didn't like a slap shot, which is a perfectly fine thing for him to do in that situation. He told him he wasn't trying to score a goal. It certainly didn't look like he was trying to score a goal there. He was just trying to fire a puck at net. But it showed you how much the Pittsburgh Penguins wanted that game. And basically, I think the Bruins pretty much dashed any hope they had of the postseason by beating them in that game. So playing a team with that kind of desperation is absolutely going to get you ready for the playoffs. 6 different goal scorers. Jake DeBrusk snapped an 8-game goal scoring drought. Kevin Shattenkirk, I believe, was well over 20 games that he hadn't scored a goal. He scored. Danton Heinen and Morgan Geekie got their 17th goals of the year. Brad Marchand scored, so he's one shy of 30 right now. So all of that happened in addition to Linus Ullmark stopping 13 shots in the first period, really standing on his head and not letting anything in as the Bruins sort of got their bearings early in that game. It took them about a period to really sort of get going, but they did take over and scored 4 goals in the second period. They scored a couple, within short, like a minute of each other, and then they were kind of off and running at that point. So just a really solid win over a desperate team that was right there in the playoff hunt. A nice bounce back from a bad game against Carolina as well. The first game for Patrick Maroon. Pat Maroon, he played over 13 minutes, played with Boqvist and Lauko and, you know, what would be a fourth line for the playoffs. They looked pretty effective. He didn't look really behind the play. His timing didn't look bad at all. He got in on a couple of hits, was able to get there on time, you know, was keeping the shifts short because obviously he's still working on his conditioning, getting it back up to full game level. But I thought he played well. I thought he looked like he'd be ready to go for the playoffs. He looked healthy. He looked like he was willing to play physical. Everything you'd want to see from Maroon in that game went down. So now they'll probably get him in at least one more game of these final two and then have him ready for the postseason, where they still don't have Justin Brazeau skating, so he's not really going to be an option. You know, we'll see what happens with James Van Riemsdyk. He may, because of injuries, get, you know, be able to stay in the lineup. Shattenkirk scoring that goal, looking good on the power play. He looks good on the power play. The power play itself still doesn't look that great. But I think he's somebody they need on the power play. So I think he will probably be in the lineup to start game one based on the offense and the power play acumen, even if defensively he can be taken advantage of a little bit. But you put him with Andrew Peak, I think that's you know, a really good bottom pairing where Peak is going to be able to cover for him defensively. So we'll see if that's what they start with. We'll see, you know, Weatherspoon's another option that we may see as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they go with there. But good win. Move on to Washington and then and finish up with the regular season finale and then get ready for the playoffs. They still have the Atlantic Division to play for, and that's another thing we'll get to. But, yeah, should they win the division? Should they have really tried to, and we've got a question on that. Should they really have tried to win that Pittsburgh game? Should they have let Florida, who's won a few games in a row, pass them and let them get Tampa Bay in the first round and you get the Maple Leafs, who you've handled? That will be interesting. And we will answer that because that's coming up in the mailbag. But let's just get to the Pucks with Hags mailbag. First question, BM Hick 03. What is with the Bruins not wanting to shoot? This is an issue on that power play unit, that top power play unit. There is zero question about it. Brad Marchand has zero power play goals in over 30 games since the NHL All-Star break. I think Pasternak still only has one. Not getting any goal scoring from their star players where they, especially Pasta's obviously getting taken away by penalty kills, and they're trying to take him away as a shooting option from the faceoff circle and from the dot. And nobody else is really willing or able to step up and score. Charlie McAvoy won't consistently shoot the puck and look for his offense on the man advantage, and still just doesn't look to me like he's a comfortable power play quarterback, a guy that, you know, is really feeling full comfort level there. You know, it looks like he's passing and trying to make plays to other players. And you know, and that's the kind of player he is. And that's okay. I think most of the time that works for a defenseman, and certainly works for McAvoy. And it's worked in the past with the players that they've had, particularly when Bergeron was in the bumper. He could pass to other players and they would handle the heavy lifting as far as the offense and as far as the scoring went. But I think if he wants to stay in that role, if he wants to be the power play quarterback, if he wants to be the guy at the point, he needs to pull the trigger shooting more, and he needs to be aggressive shooting the puck and be looking for the shot and then pull defenders towards him. And then he can, you know, make plays if he wants to. But I think he needs to be much more of a threat shooting the puck. And, you know, Pavel Zacha, if he's going to play the bumper, also needs to be a scoring threat. It needs to be a guy that they need to start forcing the puck into him at times. And he needs to get into places where he can score and be deadly with it. And, you know, it took Bergeron a little while and a lot of practice and a lot of work to become a lethal threat from that bumper spot with the shot and being able to, you know, take a pass quick and flick it at the net and score. But he became super dangerous, and he became a second scoring option along with Pasternak that really made penalty kills have to think twice about, you know, sending multiple killers at Pasternak or trying to deny him the puck or do whatever they want to do to try to disrupt and throw the top power play unit off track. with Zaka there, a guy that doesn't shoot it as much, and a guy that's not looking for his offense first as much, and I don't think is nearly as comfortable as Bergeron was when he, you know, in his latter years on the power play. I just think you put players like that in certain positions where they're not threats and they're not looking to shoot, and all of a sudden it becomes a power play that doesn't want to shoot. There's too many players on there that don't want to score or aren't looking to score and are looking to pass and playmake instead of scoring. And just in general, the Bruins, when they're at their worst, when they're struggling, they're definitely a team that looks like they're passing and they're trying to pass and they're not shooting and they're passing up open shooting lanes and open seams at the net where they could shoot the puck to try to be overly fancy or to try to set up a teammate. And really, that's a clear indicator and a clear sign that the Bruins are struggling confidence-wise, that they're struggling offensively, is when they pass up the real open looks at the net and the real good scoring chances from the good scoring areas to try to make an east-west pass or to try to, you know, go over the I believe they call it the Royal Road, right? Across the Royal Road with a pass. Because we all know that statistically, when you get the puck moving side to side across the middle in the offensive zone, it really ups the scoring ability that you have and ups the percentage and the chances that you're going to score. So everybody knows that. But at a certain point, when you're an NHL player, when you have an open shot on the net, you really need to take it. And you need to be the threat to score and a threat to shoot in order to set up some of that playmaking. And it's just an easy barometer to look at to know the Bruins are struggling when you see that kind of stuff. So yeah, they need to shoot more. Certainly on the power play, they need to shoot more. Jim Montgomery's been very vocal about wanting to see that more. And they're going to need to do that if they're going to beat teams in the playoffs. It's simple as that. They absolutely have to do it. You ready to get in on all the playoff action that's coming up? Basketball playoffs a few weeks away, hockey playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, the best time of year, a few weeks away. Well, why don't you go and get the Prize Picks app? Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America and the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll right in. You can get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's upcoming playoffs, during the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. As I mentioned, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and anything else today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. How cool is that? You're going to want to get involved right now. David Pastrnak, you can do goals, you can do shots, maybe you can do turnovers, because sometimes he has a lot of those in the game as well. You just pick more or less than. It's fun and pretty simple. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Ryan Roberts 77. The playoff seeding is so stupid. Here we go. They need to go back to 1 through 8. If the Bruins win the Atlantic but not the East, they will get Tampa or Toronto, where is the 1 through 8 as the number 2 seed. They would get either Philly, Washington, or the Islanders. Well, they certainly won't get Philly, but they'd probably get Washington or the Islanders or the Red Wings maybe. For finishing second in the East, that draw is bull bleep, bull crap, bull expletive. We're going to keep it clean here at the Pucks with Hags podcast, but there was a little swearing in that one. I go back and forth on this. There, part of me is like, yes, they should traditionally just go 1 through 8, you know, make sure your top seeds get the best draw, get the most advantageous matchup. Like, why else are you playing a regular season unless you're going to reward teams that excel in the regular season at the end? But there's another part of me that kind of likes that the East, the Atlantic Division, has turned into a battle royale between the Lightning, the Panthers, the Bruins, and the Leafs. You know, I love that those four teams have to go at it, and it's a grudge match every single year, where they have those divisional matchups, those teams that they keep playing in the first round that has bred rivalries. You know, the Bruins hate the Florida Panthers. They hate them like poison. You can tell when they're playing on the ice. They absolutely hate that team. They can't stand Matthew Tkachuk. They can't stand Sam Bennett. You know, some of the other guys are gone from last year's playoffs that were problematic. Radko Gudas obviously is not there anymore. So he's a big piece missing from that equation. But you could tell those teams didn't like each other. And there was that 7-game series and the regular season matchups they had too. It really kicked up something. And you could see it this year. The last game that they played against each other was playoff level hate and intensity. And it really brought out the best in the Bruins. And it seems like it also brought out the physicality that they're going to need in the playoffs and in the postseason. And we've seen that a little bit more down the stretch this year, them playing with a certain level of physicality, a certain level of surliness, nastiness, a certain level of, you know, knowing they have to do certain things to just take it from other teams in the third period if they want to win and if they want to protect a lead and if they want to avoid overtime. You know, it comes down to will sometimes in these situations, where earlier in the year they were giving up goals late in the third period. They were allowing games to get to overtime at a clip unseen before in the NHL. Thank God for the loser point, the overtime point. Otherwise the Bruins would have been a lot lower in the standings. But I think that's what we're going to see in these playoff series, because they're playing these teams that they've played over and over again. How many times have they played the Leafs over the years? How many times have they played the Lightning over the last few years? How many times have they played the Panthers over the last few years? These are teams that will be rivalry series, will be series where there's hate on the ice, where they don't like each other. That's the best kind of playoffs. Would you get that, do you think, if you played the Islanders in the first round? Would you get that if you played the Capitals in the first round? The Red Wings? No. I, from that perspective, selfishly, as a hockey fan, I want to see the most entertaining playoffs that I can. So I want to see them play the teams that they've been playing in these divisional rounds to get out of them, you know, for the last 10 years, whatever it's been, 12 years. I want to continue to see that. I like it. I like it from that perspective. And I'm always looking at it, not from a fan perspective of what's best for them, what do they deserve, what should they get. They're getting screwed because, you know, we don't do, the NHL doesn't do 1 through 8. I look at it more from a matchup perspective, from an entertainment perspective, from what's going to be more fun to cover, what's going to be more fun to watch, all that stuff. And I'm sorry, I think playing the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, although it's an extremely tough draw for them, probably the worst draw they could get, it's going to be a lot more interesting watching Bruins versus Lightning in the first round than Bruins Islanders or Bruins Red Wings. It just is. So that's kind of my stance. Like, I'm not looking to tweak the playoffs. I'm not looking to change the seedings. I'm really not looking to change anything as far as the Stanley Cup playoffs go right now. I love watching the playoffs. I don't think there's a lot of problems or flaws with it. I don't think we need to mess with something that's broken. But, you know, Ryan Robert, 77, you go, boy. You have your own opinion. You run with it. And I know there's a lot of people that feel the same way you do, and that they should just go straight 1 through 8 seeding based on points and how they finish in the regular season. So there you go. That's my take.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. This one's from Roger Perry on the Facebook fan page. Hi, Joe. I have a mailbag question for you. If in your latest podcast episode, you mentioned how well Paul Maurice coached the Panthers versus the Bruins in last year's playoffs. Aside from setting the line combinations and choosing a starting goalie for each game, that, in your opinion, makes a good in-game, what makes a good in-game coach versus an average in-game coach? Is it as simple as keeping your players motivated throughout each game, or is there more to it than that? Thank you. Love the podcast, Roger Perry. It's a good question. And, you know, I think some of it is tone. Some of it is keeping players motivated, knowing what buttons to push and what not to push. A lot of times in that series last year, Paul Maurice talked about how he didn't have to really do much with his team. He kind of stepped away and let them run things and run the show. And that was a feel thing for him. That was a confidence thing for him, that he didn't have to get involved. And to be honest with you, there was a little bit of that with Jim Montgomery as well, because Patrice Bergeron was there and he was the captain. I think there was a separation of Montgomery away from the team and letting the players sort of run things and letting Bergeron, you know, run the show when he was in there. So there was an element to that for sure. That was actually a similarity. Problems become when you're not making adjustments that you need to make. And that really is what it comes down to. I think the Panthers made adjustments, and in a lot of cases, they didn't have to make adjustments. They just got better as the series was going on. But they did make adjustments. They made line adjustments. They made lineup adjustments. And they obviously changed their goalie. That was a big one when they finally went to Bobrovsky pretty early. But I think one thing that you've seen with the Bruins was they did not make the goalie move early enough. They did not. In game five, they needed to start Jeremy Swayman. They really did. I just think they needed to put him at that point in the series. It was the right thing to do. He had been sitting for a while. It was the perfect time to get him in. They were up in the series. And if you believe in the goalie rotation, that was the right time to do it. And, you know, do they close it out if he's starting game five? I don't know. Who knows what? We'll never know what would have happened. But I think waiting and then putting him in game seven was too long. I think his tone, Jim Montgomery's tone after, I think it was game six, was not good. You know, just talked about what a great hockey game it was and, you know, all this other stuff. And I just think the Bruins needed to hear something different. They needed something different at that point. And I just think Jim Montgomery didn't have a ton of playoff experience like Paul Maurice did behind the bench. And there were certain moments where they should have made adjustments. The tone should have been a little different. Maybe there should have been a little more accountability with certain things in certain players. There was a lot of that stuff that I think just didn't happen. And it kind of went by the wayside in that series. And you know, Jim Montgomery, I think, was very honest about it afterwards, that there was, you know, a bunch of teaching moments in that series that he was going to learn from and be better from. And frankly, I think he has been, and I think he has learned. I think he's going to be much better in these playoffs and better for the experience of last year, more confident, more assertive, more willing to do certain things that he feels he needs to do, rather than maybe defer like he perhaps did at times to Patrice Bergeron being the captain and the leader of that team. I mean, obviously, I think Jim Montgomery has done an even better job this year as the coach than last year, given the record that they have, given the season that they had, and given what he was able to get out of them. And he had to, you know, put them through some bag skates at certain points, cut drills short and have them do some conditioning skates as punitive measures, call out his team at certain points. You know, hand the room over to his players and say, like, you need to take care of this and you need to figure it out. Instead of constantly him being the one that had to motivate, cajole, challenge, whatever. So, you know, I'm interested to see how these playoffs are going to go for him and what he's going to change as far as how he runs the show and how he manages the lineup, manages the emotions, manages the motivational type stuff, manages the goaltenders, like all of that. I'm really interested to see what it's going to be. But I think it's definitely more than simply keeping your players motivated or having a good rah-rah speech in between periods. I think I think the players will derive a lot of their attitude and a lot of what they bring to the ice and how they play from their coach. And I think if the coach feels like he has all the answers, seems like he has all the answers, seems like he is totally in control of what's going on, even keeled, prepared, unflinching, all of that stuff, unflappable. I think the team will be too. I think the team takes on some of the personality of the coach and certainly the leadership. And I think that's what needs to happen in this first round series. And in the postseason in general, and I'm really going to be watching that. And I think it's going to be interesting to see exactly how that manifests itself this year after the experience of last year against Florida. All right. Would love to see the Bruins somehow squeak past the Rangers and get whoever backs into that second wild card spot instead of playing Tampa from Delhi tweets. I mean, I understand that. I think naturally you would want to get into the one seed and play the eight seed. You would want to avoid Tampa in any way, shape, or form. You have what had could, whether that is losing or falling behind Florida, losing the division to Florida. Whether that's going ahead somehow of the Rangers and getting that top seed, I think there's a lot of there were a lot of scenarios. I don't think there's as many scenarios before as before, but I think the general consensus from Bruins fans, and I agree, is that Tampa Bay is not going to be good for them in the first round. That's going to be a tough draw. It's going to be a tough series. That's probably the one team that they could face in the first round that is gonna that could eliminate them, that could make it really tough for them. And I think that's true. Andrei Vasilevskiy, all world goaltender. Victor Hedman, all world defenseman, especially in a first round series where he's not worn down later in the postseason. Braden Point always gives the Bruins problems, has always done that in the playoffs. Nikita Kucherov having his best NHL season and is going to be a handful in the postseason. Steven Stamkos, obviously motivated to want this Lightning group to go on a long run and wanting to continue to punch his ticket, keeping him in Tampa Bay. Anthony Cirelli, there's a ton of really good players. Obviously, the Sergachev injury hurts, and they're going to miss him. And they're not as good defensively as they've been in past as far as their personnel goes. They had constantly had these big, huge defenseman cores that had really given the Bruins problems and kept them away from their net. I think that's less the case this time around, but I still think that's it's going to be an issue for them. So yeah, in a perfect world, maybe it would work out where you would either pass the Rangers or fall behind the Panthers, play the Light Leafs, play somebody else, Red Wings, Islanders, whoever it's going to be, and miss the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. But I also think I'm of the mentality that just play who they put in front of you, Do you really need to get worked up or try to avoid anybody in the playoffs if you think you're good enough to win? If you think you're a championship caliber team, a Stanley Cup caliber team, just go out and beat everybody. Beat anybody they put in front of you. That's always been, I think, the prevailing and the best attitude to have in sports is not to get worked up about any of that stuff and just say, you know what? We're going to have to beat everybody if we're going to win the cup. So just put anybody in front of me. And maybe it won't work out for the Bruins, and I think that's perfectly okay if it doesn't. I still think this is a transition year. This is a year that's almost a bridge year to next year and beyond. Going from the old guard, Krejci and Bergeron retiring last year, and going to the new guard of David Pastrnak, Charlie McAvoy, the young guys they're introducing, the low rise, the Matt Patras, the Johnny Beechers. Those kind of players that they're introducing into the fold this year. And, the young veterans that are taking over too, like the Trent Frederiks of the world, those kind of guys that are taking ownership of this team, and Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle becoming much more of a leader. This is becoming their team. And I think this is the first step towards that. And I think it could be fraught with some difficulty come playoff time. when they have to elevate their game, and it's going to be difficult. And there's weaknesses on this team that they weren't able to adequately address at the trade deadline because they don't have enough salary cap space to make these big moves. And they didn't have a ton of draft capital either to make trades. So, you know, they're a good team. They're a flawed team. And I don't know that they're going to have enough to really go on a run for 2 months. So, you know, this may be a very challenging series for them, but that's okay. I think a round or two, if they can get past the first round, get to the second round against Florida, maybe they don't beat Florida. I think that's a reasonable progression and step in the right direction from last year to this year and from what they had and what they're going towards next year. And they can sort of, you know, they can really tack on some good players and really add to that roster this summer and really become a legit threat based on who they get, if they can really hit a couple of home runs, Don Sweeney in the Bruins front office. So, you know, I can understand the sentiment of them wanting to avoid Tampa, but I think at the same time, if you think you're all that in a bag of chips and you can win the cup, bring on anybody, put them in front of you and play them. Great. If they lost against the Penguins and came in second, they'd have the Leafs, who they handled all season. But no, they want to win the Atlantic and get Tampa Bay, who can beat them in their sleep. Sometimes it's better to be smart than proud. That's from BFD Mike. I don't think Tampa's going to beat them in their sleep. I think that's a tough series. I think that's a tough draw. But I also think that would end up being a long series, 6-7 games, and I think it would be back and forth, and I think it could go either way. It's just not I think they beat Toronto if they play Toronto in the first round. I really do. Tampa, I am less certain of that. So, you know, I think that's difficult, and I think that's a lot of fans have the same sentiment about that. They're, as the big old Glenn Ordway used to say, they're running a scared of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And maybe they are to a degree, but I think that's a toss up. I think either team could win that series. I think it would come down to who's healthy, a couple of bounces, the way the goalies are playing, all that stuff. But, you know, the Bruins have a lot of things to answer if they're going to beat anybody in the playoffs. They're going to have much better performances from Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. They're going to have to get something out of their power play. It's at least not going to have to be a momentum suck like it's been lately, in addition to not scoring. Now they're giving up shorthanded goals and chances and really just looking bad. So they need to change the mojo with that. They need to start becoming more of a threat to score, figure out what they need to do, whether it's forcing the puck into the bumper, whether it's using Pastrnak as kind of a passing decoy, making Charlie McAvoy shoot more from the point, creating more movement in the power play, just having pieces moving, or whatever they need to do. Change personnel, use the second unit first and give them some chances, like whatever. Whatever they decide to do, they need to be bold and they need to try some things, because right now it's simply not working, and that's going to be a problem. And they're still, like, they've been much better in the third period. They've been much better about holding leads. They've been much better about when they play when the goalie's been pulled by the other team. They had an empty netter from Danton Heinen in that last game against Pittsburgh. They've been better in a lot of those situations, but I need to see that that's not going to crop up and be a problem in the playoffs. You know, I need to see that that's not going to come back to bite them. What was a real flaw with this team all year, blowing third period leads and not being able to hang on to them, not being able to extend leads, all that stuff that they've shown lately they can do against good teams in high intensity situations. They just need to be consistent with it. And you need to see it in the postseason as opposed to the regular season, which it's easier to do things in the regular season, obviously, than the postseason. So, but that, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll know next Pucks with Addicts podcast. I'm sure we'll have a lot more answers. We'll know who they're going to play. We'll have a guest who can break it down with me. And we'll still take some of your questions. Certainly, we'll answer a tweet of the week. And we will throw it around a little bit and talk about some other things. Maybe some end-of-season awards for the Bruins. What's been a stellar regular season for them, just like last year. So, tune in for that. We'll know more next week. For this edition of the Pucks with Hags podcast, thank you very much for listening. Let's thank our sponsors, Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Instead of battling thousands of other players that could be pros or sharks, you simply pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll right in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and baseball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Connor McDavid, Jude Bellingham, all in the same entry. That's pretty cool that you can pick all those players in the same entry across different sports worlds. You can also play along some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Shane O'Malley. You can find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries. So you can do any of this stuff. Prize Picks, the app, is easy to use. There's all kinds of possibilities, all kinds of fun stuff you can do with the sports app that's got over 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action and watch your favorite sports teams and players. So download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's download the Prize Picks app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Pucks with Hags podcast, the mailbag episode. We'll be back next week. As for now, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the rink.